Welcome to Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain Podcast. My name is Bubba, and with me as always is the person I like to call the master, Mork. Mork, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing real, real good, Bubba.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Super dope fresh.
You know what? Mork, it's time we start this podcast because we really 15 hours earlier. Oh, my God.
Hey, when do you think The Strain's going to be on?
I really don't know, but
think it's going to be on at the same time this week?
Possibly. I really hope so.
You got to believe me. I mean, will you please believe me this one time?
Sure.
What do I have to do to prove it to you?
Listen to me. It's not going to be on when it's normally on.
You're probably
it's
right.
You know, this is a special Sunday. Whoosh.
17 hours early.
This episode had a lot of flashbacks, Mork.
It was very, very interesting narrative technique.
And so we're going to break it down. This was in episode 10 called Loved Ones. And we're going to do a lot of things. But last week on our podcast, Mork, we introduced a new group of heroes.
Yep.
There is F. There's Vasily Fett. There's Abraham.
Yep.
There's Nora. Nora's mom.
Nora's mom.
All the heroes. All the heroes.
Exactly.
But we've only seen them once. But there was Sturgoy Team 6, which came and save Audrey Luss and the Luss kids.
Yes.
And so we have
also known as Chloe O'Malley.
Chloe O'Malley. Heck yeah! But we decided, because we have some great followers and listeners like you to the Got Your Milk podcast, we've decided to create Sturgoy Team 7. You know what that is, Mork?
I sure do, Bubba, but why don't you remind everyone?
Oh, that's a good point. I probably should. It is listeners who tweet at us, who give us iTunes reviews, and really help us enjoy and understand this great series, The Strain on FX. I should point out, if you're new to the Got Your Milk podcast, number one, it's named Got Your Milk because in the first episode, Jim kept giving F lots of milk, and we thought that would be like a thing throughout the whole show.
Yeah, it still might be.
I'm holding out. But also, if you're new, you should know that Mork and I have not read these books.
Nope.
The series is based on. So we predict stuff. Sometimes we get stuff wrong, and we don't want to upset you. So sometimes we get stuff wrong. So, Mork, we created Sturgoy Team 7. That's from listeners who give us iTunes reviews, who tweeted us. And so we have some new members. Remember, we had a good old Jay Coyley and Black Lannister from last week.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, I do.
Well, now we have Julie, who's at Calypso TX. That's Calypso, K-H-Calypso. So K-H-A-L-I-P-S-O-T-X. That's Julie at Calypso TX, who wrote us and wanted to let us know something. And she listened to last week's podcast, and she said the prison van scene where our good boy Gus and Felix were trapped in that van, prison van, as Felix was turning. And she said it was more intense in the book, and she felt it was a bit flat on the show, which is something we had mentioned.
Hmm.
So we are welcoming Julie to Sturgoy Team 6.
Julie, you're the greatest.
We are also going to welcome our good friend Heath. And Heath, who's at Heath Actor, and Heath made some notes that F had his winter hat on in the subway, and now he doesn't wear it when he's outside. What do you think? That was a hat that Jim gave F, remember?
Yeah, I think he was trying to get it dirty. F was probably trying to return it.
Right.
Yeah.
Return it to Jim.
He was going to re-gift it,
so he's going to... He left it at the convenience store where they left Jim.
That could be. Maybe now it'll fit Jim's head better.
Excellent. So, welcome. That makes four official members of Sturgoy Team 7. If you want to be a member of Sturgoy Team 7, please give us a review on iTunes. Write us a review.
But don't do so recklessly, because being a member is... There's many privileges, but also Bubba, lots of responsibilities.
Amen. So let's go through them again. We got Jay Coyley. We got Black Lannister. We got Heath at Heath Actor, a good friend of ours. And, of course, we now have Julie, who's at Calypso TX.
Calypso TX. And, of course, all of us are under the direct supervision of Chloe O'Malley.
Amen. She retweeted us again. She retweeted, actually, let's have our fifth member, Ian Trone. And we love you guys talking to us, telling us, asking us questions. And so please, be a member of Sturgoy Team 7 and write to us. You can give us an iTunes review, write it and submit it on the Got Your Milk iTunes page, or you can contact us via Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
We need all the help.
We got a question after this episode from our good friend Iron Drone.
Okay.
Iron Drone asks, he said, did they give F a kid to make F a more likable character? That is a great question, Iron Drone. Let's go to Mork first. So, Mork, Iron Drone wants to know, why does F even have Zach from a narrative perspective? Now, people have heard, they know you get sensitive when I bring this up, but they know that you have produced actual films that people can go down to Blockbuster and buy here in Hollywood. And so you know about story structure. And so why do you think Zach exists? Why does F have a kid?
Well, so far, there's not much reason for him to. So,
hey!
Probably, yeah, to make him a little more vulnerable, sure. I would say that is 98% of it. But? The 2%.
Yes.
The 2%.
Right.
Is that Zach will save Nora's mom's life.
Oh, wow. That is a great, great prediction. I think it's definite you want your hero to be a kind of, nowadays, you want your hero to be kind of a flawed hero. You don't see many, you know, kind of Arnold Schwarzenegger's, I can beat everybody up, I do everything perfect. You don't even see many
Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't flawed, come on.
Yeah, well, no, he's, Maria, I didn't know it was a housekeeper. I thought it was an extra on the Sick Crazy Movie set when I was fucking a...
No, listen
to me. So, yes.
He was a governor.
You know, even James Bond nowadays, he's flawed. He's got his anger. And so they want to make... they've made F a flawed character because he's alcoholic.
Yeah, sure
because
is.
Because he's a blatantly bad father. Because he was a bad husband.
Yeah.
And so I personally think they made him flawed so that he could kind of redeem himself. And now through 10 episodes... Has F redeemed himself as a father in your eyes?
Absolutely not. I mean,
no.
Absolutely not. No, the first few episodes, he couldn't even make it to the custody hearing on time. His kid basically says, "Look, Dad, I know I'm too much trouble for you, so I'm going to live with Mom. I'll look forward to seeing you every other weekend."
Right.
I mean, basically, the only reason why F is has been a decent father these past few weeks is because humanity has started to crumble and society is falling.
That is the tough critic, Mork, judging F. I would say, okay, he was late to the custody hearings. He's been terrible in every way. But he did save his son from a Sturgoy known as Matt from Sears. And so, listen, if your father treats you
okay,
like
shit but even that
for the first 12 years of your life, but then saves you from a Sturgoy, throw him a bone.
I'm not going to throw him a bone. It's certainly possible the only reason he chopped off Matt from Sears' head with a shovel is because Matt from Sears not only is shacking up with Kelly,
but
redid F's office.
Right, and he's becoming
completely renovated.
All right, so let's go. No, Iron Trone didn't ask this, but who is a better father? Matt from Sears, and you can decide pre-Sturgoy, post-Sturgoy,
all right,
or F. Who's a better father? Now, I will stand up for Matt from Sears. He obviously loved Zach because he went back to him. He tried to feed off him because he loved him.
There is no greater compliment. Yeah, I think Matt from Sears is... I mean, the only thing worse than not trying hard enough is trying too hard.
Oh.
So I think that's what Matt from Sears is doing. And let's be honest.
Even Zach
thinks you're a douche, Matt from Sears.
Hey, now. You know what? Screw it. Let's leave this in office. So thanks to Iron Drone on Twitter for that comment and question. Once again, write us your questions, your comments. Talk to us via Twitter. It's at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, as in munching Sturgoys. All right, we begin every episode of Got Your Milk, FX's The Stream podcast, by giving it a rating out of 10.
Yeah.
I think I make you go first an awful lot of times, Mork, so this week I'll go first, and I will set you up and say that this episode of The Strain, Loved Ones, episode 10 of season 1, It had my favorite scene of any scene.
Oh, I
in
I
The
bet.
Strain.
I bet.
It had my favorite scene of any scene that they've ever done in The Strain. I felt most of the rest of the episode and quote unquote the other storylines that I didn't enjoy as much kind of let me down. So I am still going to give this 7 pictures of loved ones out of 10. Only 7.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give it 7 as well. I felt we were treading a little bit of water here, but
right,
there was some great stuff, as we'll get into.
All right, and so let's just jump right into it. We also talk about your favorite scene and any spoiled milk scenes that kind of brought the episode down versus scenes that are great. Once again, I will go first by making you guess what I picked. No, I will go first, and I will say that I'm going to start off actually with my spoiled milk scene. And even though I really thought the journey to Stoneheart Group Industries, whatever, mm-hmm. was a complete treading water journey, I'm not actually going to go there for my least favorite scene. My least favorite scene, my spoiled milk scene of the episode, was the scene at the very end. It did not get me excited for next week. Zach having that loving memory through his mom's phone of when she was great and sweet to him. It didn't do anything for me. It left me flat. It did not get me excited for the final couple episodes. And so that was my spoiled milk scene. But my favorite scene, the scariest scene, I'm not sure it was scary, but the scene that has been my favorite scene they've ever done is when Kelly took out Diane and Diane's kid. That was so awesome.
Yes.
They have been pulling back. Obviously, Chloe O'Malley and Audrey Luss. Didn't get worm tongue.
Chloe O'Malley better not.
She better not. But I'm telling you, Kelly, a much better shot than Matt from Sears was. From Sears could barely hit anybody. Kelly, totally. I think that was her first tonguing. She got the kid. Then she gets Diane with her second. I mean, really great. Really my favorite scene they've done. And that's what I've been waiting for all this time. How about you?
She was definitely the Red Baron of Stroboa. I think my favorite is directly related to that scene.
All right, let's hear
which
it.
Is when F shows up.
Oh, yeah.
And heads down to the basement.
Right,
And for a moment, I'll be honest, I started to slightly pee my pants when he was in the basement just because of it reminded me of when I saw Blair Witch Project.
Right,
and
yeah.
That when I first saw that, oh man, that killed me. Chloe O'Malley, you're not old enough to see that movie.
No.
But when he blew Diane and her little bastard son away.
Yeah, that was your favorite.
Good times.
That was your favorite? All right, what was your spoiled milk scene of the week?
It wasn't so much a scene, but it was an example of the kind of thing I think we're still wasting our time on, which is a lot of the, you know, intramural. That's not the right word, but a lot of the internal arguments.
No, I like intramural down on the quad.
Well, who do you think would be a better Quidditch player, Fett or F? No, but I when there was the skirmish, but the argument, and when you know F told Dutch to leave, and Fett stood up for her. I just feel like we're at this point now where everyone knows what's happening. Everyone knows that the world might
yes.
fall apart.
Oh, please.
And like, let's just get over it. Maybe she can help fix the computers. Maybe not. I don't know. Let's move on. So
yeah, get on.
I think
with
we're past
it.
All
okay,
that stuff.
I wasn't a fan of that either. All right. Well, let's just jump into it. And we're going to go by storyline, and let's get to just the storyline of Vasily Fett and his budding. You know, they bicker and bicker, but they're starting to bond.
Yeah, it's
Vasily Fett and Dutch, the computer hacker.
Dutch, the Australian. Vasily, the Ukrainian architect.
He could have been, but remember, he wasn't.
He still might be.
He still might be. That's true.
And Dutch, yeah. So they decide
yep.
that they're gonna break in. We know who's behind it. She tells everyone
right.
that it's good old Aldrich Palmer.
Uh-huh, that's
and
right.
And they're going to take the, what was it, the F train? Or no, they're going to take the Wilson's Bread Truck
right.
down to
Stoneheart
Group headquarters.
Right.
And do something. We're not really quite sure, but
it's
exciting, so we want to see it. My quick question.
What was their plan? How about that? That's a quick question. That's my quick question, and I got it in before your quick question.
Yes, well...
I suppose their plan was to get the internet turned back on, and she had to go there because...
That's where the switch is. That's okay, where they keep the internet switch.
The internet switch.
Yeah. Yeah, all you gotta do is make sure that it's on.
All right, I didn't mean to interrupt. What was your quick question?
What happened to all that bread? What happened to all that bread in the back? Are they
gotta feed. They gotta feed Zach something.
Has it just been toast all night and all day? Like, what's happening?
They got a bit.
What? It's not good for them. I'm just saying. There's a lot of refined sugar in white bread, people.
All right. So that was your question. But so they go to the Stoneheart group.
Yeah.
And now, certainly, would you call this a favorite scene? But Vasily Fett sweet talks his way past the very young looking. She's the actual security. She was just a woman at a desk. They could have walked past her and I think been fine. But he charms her. Did you see how he charmed her? It's just an hour, big deal. Let me go.
I was a little frightened. I'm not going to lie, but it worked. So who am I to complain?
But you specifically said as we were watching it, you go, that's a creepy smile.
Yeah, it was a little, it felt...
Now, do you mean the receptionist or Fett's?
Yes. Fett's got some big teeth.
He does. And when you dye your hair and your goat jet black, it's a strong look.
It's a strong, strong look.
So they've been bickering back and forth and, you know, they get in.
They sure do.
But she recognizes, Dutch, give her credit, she recognizes that she's on a security camera. As soon as they get to the floor, one of the executive kitchen floor, I guess they were trying to go to, who's there but sweet, nice guy valet to Mr. Palmer.
Yeah, Mr. Fitzwilliams.
Right, yes, Fitzwilliams.
Mr. Fitzwilliams.
He's German.
Yeah, he's German of a Ukrainian. Anyway, the point is, so they walk right into it.
They did.
Yeah.
And Mr. Palmer, would you assume he hasn't been wormed yet?
I really don't know.
I don't think so. It's tough to
he
tell.
Well, no. If he hasn't turned, he has not been wormed. So he's...
Oh, you sound like Johnny Cochran right there.
Oh, maybe.
If he hasn't been turned, he hasn't been wormed.
I think that's exactly right. A moment of silence for good old Johnny. No, so the guys take him up. And I actually did like that these private security guards had no problem patting down somebody in the NYPD.
No.
Because of, look, this is end times and all that.
Right,
so
sure.
Great. I'm all for that. They walk in. Only Dutch walks in to see a good old Mr. Palmer.
Right.
And he wants to be immortal. He wants to live forever.
Just like my buddy Voldemort.
Just like Voldemort. But see, Voldemort had some cool friends.
He had better friends than the master and Mr. Palmer. That's
who is Mr. Palmer going to hang out with? He's going to live forever and hang out with the master.
Poor man's Christoph Waltz he can hang with.
Yeah, what do you get the master for his birthday? And like,
well, you get him two tickets to see Box Trolls so he can see his relatives.
That is probably exactly what you need to do. But think about it. Like, one of the best parts about dying.
Yes. I want to hear this. Okay.
You don't have to buy anybody else any more birthday presents.
That's a good point.
So basically, Palmer is signing up to give an infinite amount of birthday presents to the master.
True. That's a good... He really is.
What do you get the master?
What do you get the
master?
Another
box?
I tell you, get him
new jewelry.
Another hood.
A double hood.
He's so goofy looking. Keep him in the shadows, for God's sakes.
Something like that. So,
Did you like how Mr. Palmer was kind of, you know, he was like, F you. I'm going to rewrite human DNA because it doesn't work. And I'm going to live forever, like an Oasis song.
Not great at endings.
To Oasis, which had a rougher ending.
Yeah, this episode.
Matt from Sears, episode, or the band Oasis. That's a great point, Mark. All right, so anyway, Mr. Palmer's like, I'm not going to see you again.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald, Fitzwilliams, whatever, he escorts.
Well, Dutch takes a swing.
Oh, right, Dutch, totally cold cocks the old man.
Yep.
Fitzwilliam, not the greatest of valet/bodyguard, is he? If you let him get that close.
He's got a lot on his mind. So,
he drags Fett off. They're in like a service corridor.
Yeah, they're getting walked down the hall, and they're told they're getting it's the Green Mile walk. They're told to turn around.
Turn around.
And what happens?
Well, I saw it, so you tell me.
Oh.
Now, what happens is Fitzwilliam, as we could kind of tell this whole season long, he's not really that bad a guy. He likes Mr. Palmer, but he realizes Mr. Palmer is just on the wrong path. So he lets them go. Fett says, hey, join us in the fight for the good guys. And he's not ready to do that, it doesn't feel like.
He's
but
not.
He lets them go in his silent team.
Yes.
Just obeys him, and they're cool with it.
Yeah, they
and
are.
And so this whole trip was relatively, what's the word, anticlimactic? Nothing happened.
Well, we know that Palmer is...
gleeful.
Still a bit of a rascal. And we know that Fitzwilliams is...
a good guy.
A good enough guy. So maybe that will turn into something. But
Hopefully it'll turn into something.
Looking forward to the payoff of that one. So, okay.
I got to point out before we leave this storyline that Mr. Palmer tells Dutch, he's like, you know, I couldn't have done it without you. And I really felt like he could have. What really would the internet and cell phone service, how is that really going to stop the Sturgoi?
Well, I think the one way to prevent a giant wooden box filled with an ancient evil being from crossing a river is by using Twitter and Facebook.
Right, by 4chan.
Yeah, so I don't...
Snapchat. They're like, hey, look at this.
So
this box is on the wrong side of the river, peeps.
He may have been able
to
do it.
Why were they so obsessed about the river? Now they got Sturgoi in like the Brooklyn... Sturgoi in Queens, Sturgoi in Manhattan.
They're all
they're
over
everywhere.
The place.
The river seems to be not that big a deal, if you ask me. But maybe it has the best sewers because the master's hanging down in the sewer. What do you think here?
Probably. But I got to say, I lived in New York for a couple of weeks. Most of the sewers are pretty good.
Okay. The master, he's got a nice little, he's got a roomy place to chill.
He's got his choice.
All right, so the episode ends. I guess let's stay with Dutch and Fett for a minute.
Sure.
They come back, and it gets to, I guess, your spoiled milk scene.
Yeah.
Where they come back, and they're like, looks like you had as much luck as we did. And so because F is upset because he hasn't found Kelly, and he really, really thinks Kelly's turn, he snaps at Dutch, and he's like, oh, you're right. Still here?
Yep.
And so for some reason, just saying that, she's like, I'd rather run out into the night where there are monsters who will kill me rather than stay here with people who will protect me and weapons because somebody asked why I was still here.
You know, let me tell you something.
Dutch is very sensitive.
Bubba, let me tell you something.
Please
tell
me.
Dutch did not get to where she is today by following your so-called rules. All right?
Well, where is she today? She's living in some crappy apartment.
In New York City.
Oh, right. That's a good point. In New York.
Oh, man. That's a good song.
It is a good song. Yeah. So, she ran off into the night. Maybe is that a cliffhanger? What has happened to Dutch?
I don't know. That place, it's certainly possible.
How
that
is
she
even going to get out?
Well, that's the
Isn't
whole point.
Isn't it locked in there?
Well, the layout of Abe's pawn shop / apartment, I haven't quite figured it out yet.
It's a spacey place. I hope it's rent controlled.
It's pretty roomy. So my hope is that Dutch is having a Hello Cleveland moment and will still be trying to escape next time. But... So we begin the episode. Should we talk a little bit about iPhone search?
Oh, yeah. You want to do Zach/F. We'll leave Kelly till the end, but Zach/F. So let's start off. And Zach, he is the rapscallion. He's going through the Knickerbocker pawn shop. He's looking at cell phones. He finds a computer.
Yeah. Clearly, Ava did not see the iPhone announcement this week because some of those cell phones in that case.
Right.
Not too.
And one of the upset cutscenes is Zach is trying to go to find my phone app on this thing, and instead he has to listen to the free U2 download, and he's like, "Oh Jesus, U2, they're old and pitiful." Yes, I do know what.
I mean, I didn't think about it until now, but
think about it.
Perhaps the master, instead of using these 6-foot-long mouthworms to spread the virus,
right?
Maybe he just should have used iTunes like U2 did.
That's a good point.
I mean, basically, what the master is trying to do, U2 successfully did this week. They infected the entire world with their new album.
Do you think Dutch forced the new YouTube album down everybody's cell phone?
She might have.
All right, so I want to point out, this is just a laptop that was on sale at the Knickerbocker.
Yeah.
Zach walks around Abe's apartment until he finds a place with the strongest Wi-Fi signal.
Right.
He opens up Safari, and folks, I want you to try this at home. Type find_Kelly_GoodWeathers, and that's an apostrophe S at the end of GoodWeathers, phone, And sure enough, iPhone, and it immediately takes you to her phone.
Isn't that how it works?
I don't remember him typing in a password or anything. Zach is a hacker. He's probably learned from Dutch.
Dutch has shown him. Thank God this is what she's been teaching him.
And he finds the phone. And then and he's talking to himself while he does it. So in case anybody missed it, he's saying, I am finding the phone.
You know,
I found the phone. Look, yes, I found it. It's right here. Near the public school number 8.
Zach is not exactly at the top of his class when it comes to public speaking.
He's number 1 in public speaking. He won't quit doing it. Even when he's all by himself, he'll
public
speak.
That is true, by that measure.
And so in comes his dad, old F.
I was relieved to see F enter through the door. I was afraid he was going to stand up because he and Nora were on the rug on the other side of the bed.
That would have been very tough.
I was relieved.
So F is a brilliant doctor for the CDC.
Yes.
But he's like, what's this crazy thing you're doing, Zach?
Yeah, what is this thing? Now we know why Zach knows so much about his teacher. It's because of his hacking skills.
So it turns out that Zach has found, even though there shouldn't be any internet, Zach has found, used what available Wi-Fi he has. He's found his mother's phone. And then he grabs a phone and he tries to call his mom. And even though there are no cell phone service, of course, they get his mom's answering machine.
Yes, that's how it should be.
And so that toe-headed Zach, that little whippersnapper, he's like, Dad, I found her. And she's over in, what part of town was she? She's on Main and Front.
Main and Front, yeah. That's in the New York district of town.
It sure is.
In the building
so
section.
F says, I'm going to find her.
He's going to go do it.
He's got to go get it. It's the mother of his child, the woman he loves.
All right, be honest.
Not the woman he physically loves, but the one.
Be honest. If F didn't get caught by Diane on the rug in the bedroom, this is the greatest game of Clue ever, by the way. if F didn't get caught, would he feel like he'd need to track her down?
That is, of course, he'd have to. It's the mother of his child. He's got to track her down, for God's sakes. He's got to track her down. But
fair
before
enough.
He goes and tracks her down, he's got to go find his F buddy. And I don't mean
yes.
F. F is
hey.
Nora's F buddy, if you know what I mean. But he's got to find Nora and tell her where he's going. And guess who's there, Mork? Everybody's favorite character, a.k.a. not showing her face once in this scene, but Nora's mom.
She's very, very busy this week.
Yeah, so she's watching the news. She's watching the TV, even when they turn the TV off.
Yeah. No,
she keeps watching it.
So Nora and, I mean, it's...
Nora and F have a heart-to-heart. He's like, hey, I'm sorry if I hurt you.
Yeah.
And Nora's mom is this the man you love?
That's,
and Nora's like,
drink your tea.
Drink your tea, moms.
Yeah.
Not now.
Do you think maybe Nora pushed the envelope a little bit in the old love scene?
Hold on. She did touch her finger against F's finger. That's the universal sign for take me now.
Yeah. That is true.
Notice that my hands are nowhere near yours, Mork.
Yes.
It's because I don't want you to take me now.
My toes, though, are near your toes. So, all right. So
now, F, what do you think about this? He's blowing it with both women. He blew it with his wife by being an alcoholic and by screwing a coworker. Now he's screwing his sexy coworker, but he's screwing up with her. But he keeps saying he loves his wife. And then my boy Abraham. Abraham, who should know better, who should say, hey, we got to fight this Durgoy.
Maybe Abe is like, just trying to get rid of F.
Oh, boy. I really, 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 really thought that's what it was. He was like, F, you never believe anything. Just get out of here.
Yeah, just go walk down the street in the middle of the night. And no, you'll be fine. You'll be totally, totally fine. No, so he's, so he tells, he's, he gives Nora a sort of a weird non-committal committal to her. And he's
off. He's off to find the cell phone.
He's
and
off.
This is New York City. If you think finding a cell phone, even if you know the general area where the cell phone is difficult in a city with so many people and so many buildings and so many apartments and stuff, it's not difficult at all.
Nope.
Not for F, our hero. He finds it in like one cut.
Well,
like one edit. They immediately cut to him finding it.
Yeah. Well, no, that's how it should be. That's how it should
and
be.
And who has the cell phone, Mork?
It's a brand new character.
No, a new hero.
A new hero, Brea, who's been burned on the lake.
She's been burned on the streets. She's been burned by life.
Ouch.
F keeps saying, where'd you find the cell phone? Where'd you find the cell phone? But F is a good enough guy that he's going to patch up old Brea, homeless Brea.
He picked up those bandages. He's got to use them somewhere.
Right. In a cut scene, he walked to CVS. He's like, I need some bandages. He bought a cane.
If it was me, I would have bandaged her with some of that bread from that truck.
Well, he's not in the truck, remember? For everybody paying attention,
he stuffed a loaf down his pants. Come on.
F, who likes to drive his van that he got in Africa fighting disease, is now driving a first-generation Toyota Prius.
Yes, a Gen 1 Prius. And he's making the woman with the burnt leg push this very heavy-looking car.
And walk all the way to where she found it. And she found it in the gutter near Kelly's car.
Right.
You're yawning, Mork. Does this mean you found this kind of pointless as well? Because it leaves us with a big mystery. Well, the cell phone's here, and the car is unlocked.
The car is unlocked.
But there's a bloody napkin in here, as if somebody's been bloody.
That is true. Maybe a bloody nose, or just cut herself shaving or
Could
something.
Could be.
Yeah. You know, she's an attractive gal.
Kelly is so hot. I'll get to this in her suit.
A lot of facial hair.
What?
A lot of facial
get
hair.
Get the hell out of she, my house she was, if you're going to say that.
Well, she was probably shaving.
Nothing. No, she was.
She's probably shaving in the car.
I'm going to edit this out. You can't say bad things about sexy Kelly.
No. Oh, when exactly is she sexiest in this episode, Bubba?
Oh, I'll tell you in a lot of places. But we're following F. So
all
F,
right,
the
let's
next
follow.
The next time we see F, F has driven back to Kelly's house.
Yep.
He was there earlier this day, and now he's back to see if he can find her. But she's not there. And then he gets an idea, and he's like, well, maybe she's with her friend Diane.
Good old Diane.
Even though earlier when F was effing Nora on the floor in Kelly's bedroom, he saw Diane and knew, and Diane told him she didn't know where Kelly was.
Now, okay, Bubba.
And so Diane he still decides to go to Diane's place.
Well, you know, I mean, Diane has seen proof that, F is able to get at least two women.
Right.
Kelly and now Nora.
Right.
And maybe.
Oh, a third.
Maybe there's a...
She's like, if this guy can disappoint two women, just think what he'll do with me.
Diane is a single modern woman living in New York. But F goes to her house.
The door's open. He lets himself in.
That's how it is in New York
City.
Doesn't
turn on any lights. Nope. Why turn on lights? It just helps me see.
He's got his Gat. He's got his big old Glock, and he finds the photo.
He finds a photo of Diane and her kid.
I mean, that to me, you know what that is right there, Bubba?
What?
It's just a snapshot of the entire show. If they just would have held on that. They just would have held on that.
Because it's a broken family, a broken picture frame, very symbolic.
Yep, there's glass all over the place.
So F decides to go down to the basement.
So he walks down.
It's very dark down
there. There's no railing.
No, there's nothing. Very dark down there. One
this is
light bulb.
A huge basement.
Yeah, this is a great place.
Why hasn't
then
she
F,
converted
but
it?
But then hold on, F turns on his, he doesn't bring a real flashlight. He brings like the tiniest flashlight. And so once again, looking for Strigoi, it's important
Excuse
to do it
me.
In the dark.
It's a flashlight made out of silver.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
So, F, now this, I'm with you, Mork. This was actually pretty fun and pretty good and pretty scary.
Yeah.
Diane is cradling her son down in the basement.
It's beautiful.
They're
growling.
And they're growling and bloody. And so, F, rather than immediately shoot, he's got to let them each come up and reveal their tongue worms before he shoots them.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm not going to shoot. Oh, he shoots once. And that doesn't stop her. Shoot again. You know why? You don't have the sword.
And that wakes up the little kid.
That wakes up that the little Diane's monster. Kid. And this kid, I honestly think his acting is better than Zach's. He's a creepy looking kid who's Strigoid.
Yeah. Well, just wait until Zach turns.
Oh, and then F, he can't even look as he shoots.
Did he hit him?
I know. He did it. We'll never know if he shot the kid or not.
We never will.
Or if he really killed the Strigoi.
But so once they're dead.
They are dead.
F finds something on the ground.
There's always a clue.
There's always a clue. That's what you learn in
the
CDC.
It's like a CSI, but of the CDC.
Yeah!
Yeah! So, F comes up to Diane's palm. Now, I remember good old Bolivar. You would shoot him and he wouldn't die because these worms aren't going to die.
Oh, look at these worms.
Oh, but there were worms crawling on the floor, and he pulls out the necklace. And whose necklace is it, Mort?
It's Kelly's necklace.
And how do we know that?
Because you stared at her chest.
Oh, like, quiet,
you
edit.
Froze the screen.
Edit.
The screen and you memorized it. Oh, jeez.
F is really torn up.
Yeah,
he is like crying without tears. He's so upset.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. And you know, I think maybe one of the things he's crying about.
One of the things.
Yeah. So maybe Matt from Sears should have renovated Diane's basement instead of F's office at his house.
Oh, that
look
is
look all that space.
That is sad. So we cut. He comes back to the Knickerbocker.
He gets back. He gets back in the Gen 1 Prius.
He's just upset. Yeah. He's just. He might as well. He's emotionally wormed
because he's
just done.
Tail and wig between his legs.
And Nora and Abraham have discovered something. We don't find out what it is because F just doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah, he doesn't.
They're like, "Hey, I want to tell you what Nora and I discovered." Shut up! I can't.
Yeah.
He's just so devastated now. Nora, she realizes that her competition of Kelly. He's out of the way. And she has all F all the time.
Yep. High five. Now, I mean, do you think Nora's starting to think maybe about making a move to Abe?
Nora can't settle down. But she is also incredibly horny. And then we have the
Say
dueling
no
couples. We have the dueling couples here. We have Fett and his love, his feelings for Dutch. And we have F and his feelings for Nora. And there's a great point. One of the writers on this show, remember, used to write for that great show, Lost.
Yeah.
And they were always fights in Lost about who put you in charge, who put you in charge. And sure enough, they're trying to set up the exact same thing here.
Yeah.
Who put you in charge, who put you in charge. And it's not great drama, in my opinion. No one's in charge. Abraham's in charge. He's the only one who knows what he's doing, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I mean, it brings to mind a question. Well, at this point,
yeah,
what good does F really do? I mean, what does
he's
he bring to the table?
He's a CDC doctor.
He's a doctor. And
right, who can't cure anybody because it's an incurable disease.
Who
thanks
refuses
a lot,
to
F.
treat anybody.
No.
His treatment is by shooting them in the head. And then you have Fett, who's an
he's
exterminator.
He's like, let me give you these two bullets and I'll burn your body in the morning.
Take two, exactly. So F goes up, breaks not really the whole truth.
Right.
To Zach, and he promises to keep looking for her. But I feel like this would have been a perfect time for F to lay a little bit of groundwork with Zach about having a new mommy.
You don't think it's too soon, Mark? Too soon?
Nah, you gotta, you know, you just gotta, you gotta, I'm just saying, just gotta.
You are just saying.
I'm just saying. You just gotta put a bug in his ear.
And then the episode ends with a scene that I suppose is supposed to pull the heartstrings, and maybe I've had my heartstrings removed to be the telltale heart down in the basement of Abraham's Knickerbocker store. But it ends on a heartwarming scene of Zach's birthday where no other children came, and he opens up this present from Kelly to find out it's a toy bike. Psych, it's a real bike.
I thought...
You got me, Mom.
I thought Kelly was trying to tell Zach that he had put on some weight. And he was
right,
so huge.
Start working on the bike.
He was so huge that the bike was too small for him. But no, he finds it, and happiness, and
why do you
sunlight.
Not want to talk into the recorder?
Oh, because I'm yes. You know, I'm trying to look at you.
Okay.
I can't take my eyes off you. So we watch this, and then we
just cut
off,
to black.
And then
like
we're done.
He produced tears. F didn't produce tears. He produced a single tear because he may know that his mom is sick with this disease.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, and so that is the episode. But wait. Let's flash back an hour.
Let's flash back 15 hours, or maybe 17, or 32.
All right, now, Mork, you know, I got to be honest with you. Before we get to my favorite part of the episode, and that is the adventures of Kelly.
Yes.
I've had some rough stuff, Mork. I've had some...
Oh, really? What's wrong, Bubba?
Well, I've had...
Oh, no. Bubba.
You know, my girlfriend...
Tell me.
My girlfriend something...
Bubba.
Something terrible's happened to my girlfriend.
Oh, what's going on? What's going on, guy? Talk to me.
She's been turned, Mork.
Turned where?
She's
She'll no longer eat with you at Norm's?
No, she's been turned into a Strigoi.
Oh, really?
But it's worse than that, boy.
Why? Oh, but that's actually good news, because now you can shack up with that hot colleague of yours.
I could, Mork, but it's worse.
Well, what could be worse, Bubba?
Well, you know, Strigoi.
Yeah?
They go back home to their loved ones to feed on the people they love, like Matt from Sears went home to feed on...
Oh, but let's... I mean, it was your... You had an unrequited love. She's not going to come back for you.
She hasn't come back. I've seen her.
Yeah.
I've seen her. She's been fooling around with...
She's been going
catfish. She went to catfish.
She's at catfish's house. Yeah, I hope catfish is okay.
She went to...
We haven't seen catfish in a couple of weeks.
She went to... She's been... I went looking for her because I loved her. I was sure if she was a Strigoi, she would come try to tongue worm me, but no.
Well, if she loved you, she would have.
Mork, I swear to God, I saw her at Matt from Sears' place.
Matt from Sears, but he doesn't even have a place.
He does.
She was stepping out on you with a guy who doesn't even have his own home?
I mean,
oh, man.
It's worse than that, Mork.
It's terrible.
It's worse.
Bubba, you know what you need?
No, listen, it's worse.
I am
she
listening.
She gave the tongue worm to every member of the... defensive backfield of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, they're having a hell of a year.
They've lost every game they've played.
Have you seen their owner? Look at that guy's mustache. That's pretty cool. Come on, you should feel good.
She didn't love me. She would be trying to turn me if she loved me.
Well, but now you can move on. And she just didn't know what she was missing. You know what'll help?
What will help?
A glass of milk.
That would help. Ah, delicious. Thank you, Mork. You cheered me up a lot there.
That's what I do.
So now we need to get to what I consider the best part of the episode, and that's Kelly's adventure. Did you like it?
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
All right, so we get to Kelly's adventure in the most odd way. We're back where F has found her car.
Yep.
He's found the bloody handkerchief in her car, the napkin, whatever it is. And the camera and the scene slowly fades to black. And we see 32 hours earlier on the screen.
What do you think they're trying to say by that, Bubba?
They're trying to say, there's nothing interesting happening now. Let's go back in time to when something interesting was happening.
Okay.
And all so right. Sure enough,
that's fair.
We cut to, I assume, the morning after they had the fight. The morning after Matt from Sears got turned by those people at Sears.
All right, okay.
And so Kelly is sleeping.
Yeah.
And in comes a growling Matt from Sears.
Yep, and the sun is rising. But
and
good,
she
good
is,
thing the
she
blinds
is
are
completely
closed.
Vulnerable. She's just laying there. Her delicious skin is glowing in the morning sunlight. But Matt from Sears, he loves her too much. He's not going to turn her
down. Yeah, there's still a little bit
still
of
still a little human in Matt from Sears.
Or maybe he just went into the bathroom to shave.
Right. One or the other.
He wanted to look
and
good.
And so now, you know, I am, since my girl has left me, I am a very lonely person, so I love this outfit that Kelly sleeps in.
Oh, it's tasteful.
It's tasteful.
And elegant.
It's
and
perfect for a sexy mom like Kelly to wear in
absolutely.
Case Zach comes in while she's doing Matt from Seattle.
At a lot of soccer leagues these days, along with the child's uniform,
yes.
They give a little negligee to the mom.
Exactly right.
That's exactly
so,
right.
So this is a bit odd. She thinks that Matt from Sears is in their master bathroom,
yes.
And he won't let her in, and he won't talk. And she's like, you know, us not talking is what ended my marriage. But sure enough, Matt from Sears won't let her in because he's turned into a monster.
He won't even
and
respond.
And somehow she gets ready and goes to work without ever seeing him or using the restroom and showering.
Well, she's a professional woman.
She's a teacher. Teachers don't have to shower, trust me.
That is true. Most kids can't tell.
So she gets dressed and goes to work. Without a shower, and the classroom's... she's writing up on the board. Now, let's look at this problem that she's written up on the board, and I want to see if you can solve this,
all right.
Mork. So she writes... So look at how none of the kids in the classroom are paying attention
to her.
They're
not
they're
even
all
facing.
Turned away from her, so maybe she's not that good a teacher at Public School 426 in Brooklyn.
Right.
And so... Brooklyn Heights, excuse me. So she writes, 1/2... equals 2/4 equals... Now, what do you think is the next thing she's going to write? So, once again, it's 1/2 equals 2/4 equals...
Well, I think it's going to be 1/3, and it's going to be about her family.
Right.
She feels like she's in a love triangle, so she's 1 of 3 between F, Kelly, and Nora.
All right. She is. That's exactly right.
Yep.
So one of her fellow teachers walks in. Neither of them are paying attention to the children. That's right. Why you don't let your kids go to public school.
Not in
and
Brooklyn.
They're talking about how it's going to be a half day. A bunch of kids haven't shown up. I don't know how Kelly has missed that only half of her students have shown up. Everybody's come down with something. And she's like, F was right.
Yeah.
And she's like, we've got to get out of town. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to get Zach, and I'm going to get out of town. And she just leaves these kids.
Whoa.
She just leaves the room with the kids. Whoa. What do you mean, whoa? She left the kids.
She left. She had someplace to go. But yeah. Kelly...
She's getting the hell out of town.
Kelly was not abandoning her kids.
Not her kids. The school's kids.
She was not abandoning her students. She had already called in a sub.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's who this woman with the blue sweater and blonde hair...
No. The sub is Nora's mom.
You know, Mork, again, I don't think anybody likes Nora's mom. Everybody hates, even the show.
Who likes a substitute teacher?
Even the show.
Nobody.
Even the show is so bored with Nora's mom, they don't let her have her face appear on camera.
Nora's mom, she was down in Tijuana having fun.
Never.
Having fun. And she got a little sunburn, so they couldn't show her this week. It happens all the time.
Not true at all.
Ava Gardner used to happen too all the time.
So Kelly immediately abandons her kids at school. Goes home. She's a bit like her son. When she walks in the door, she'll start calling out and talking to herself. Hey, everybody, where is everybody? And Kelly, it's cold outside, so she's got her sweater on. She's got her parka on.
Yep.
She's like, Matt, uh-oh, where is everybody? And sure enough, who is in the other room, the room with sunlight? It is Matt from Sears. And Matt from Sears...
He doesn't look good.
No, he needs some... What?
Well, first of all, tuck in that shirt. Right. He looks like a slob.
Right. Tuck in that shirt. But you know what else might be good? What else might be good is for him to get some Propecia. Because he is really... He's got the BPS syndrome of he's losing his hair.
Yeah, it's starting
to... She fights. She fights Matt from Sears.
She gets
him. But then
him.
Probably the grossest thing ever on the show happens.
Say what you will about Matt from Sears. What you will.
His tonguing has been terrible.
His tonguing's terrible.
He missed Zach. He missed Kelly.
He gives good worm.
He does give good worm.
And Kelly fights him down, right, and she runs off. But this is no good.
No,
this is horrifying.
This
actually
is scary. Yeah, I mean this was a good tense scene, and then she gets outside and she notices
and
that Matt from Sears won't follow her. But
these
Strigoi worms, they do a good job. Where Matt from Sears, he couldn't friggin'. I mean, how pitiful. He couldn't worm anybody. You know, no how, no way.
It's his first day.
But the worms, they just barely get on her. They immediately burrow into her eye. Those are some good worms.
Yeah, no, they're top shelf. They were top shelf. And maybe, you know, the master. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, let's not get ahead of ourselves. So Kelly, her eye that worm got into is looking rough already.
So we see
that she has driven.
She's driven
to the point where she's going to drop her phone. Yeah. The mystery is solved of how the phone ended up there.
The mystery of the phone. Now, I know that this is a family show, but...
What, The Strain or our pot? Neither are family shows.
Well, certain families and certain parts of...
You mean it's a family show because it features a family that's a divided family.
I have a question.
You have a lot of questions. Why do you have to say it? Just ask the question.
Well, Bubba,
yes.
Do you think... Now, I know we've just seen an ammonia worm
burrow
itself into her eye.
Right.
And I know we've seen the small worms crawling up and down under her skin on her hands.
Sure.
But is it possible?
You're talking very soft right now, Mark.
Is it possible that she's starting to go down with premenopausal symptoms? I'm just saying... Look... F is a scientist. He might ask this exact same question.
All right, so she goes to the school first and foremost. And I was sure that she goes to Zach's school.
Right.
And Zach's principal, and she's like, I'm here for my son.
And it's sundown already.
It is sundown already. Yeah. And what's interesting, well, it's winter, so of course the sun is going to be down.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is she is still part human, part Strigoi now. Because this principal... This principal, you know, doesn't have any lights on in the school. Nobody, everybody's very electric.
Trying to say, hey, schools are in trouble. She's trying to save money on electricity.
So the principal goes to a cell phone. How does that work? Dutch, you don't deserve any of the money that got stolen because you can't shut down cell phones.
Yeah.
So the principal's like, I think Kelly's been in an accident. I think she has a concussion.
And then.
But Kelly has, like many characters, snuck in the back door or snuck out the back door.
Yes.
And Kelly is starting to turn, and she sees Sturgoy. And she follows a Sturgoy right outside the school, kills somebody.
And someone starts to call for her.
Right. Yeah, but not on her cell phone, because that won't work.
No, that wouldn't work. That absolutely wouldn't work. But you know...
Who is calling for her?
Well...
Spoiler alert, we haven't gotten there yet. We got to get to her in going to Diane's place first.
Yeah. Spoiler avoided. So she stumbles through the park.
It's like Sturgoy always go to their loved ones to feed. She loves her son, Zach.
Diane is kind of a pain in the neck, but you gotta love her.
So I don't love her. I think Kelly doesn't love her. Kelly loves Zach. So Kelly comes into Diane's house, and she is really, really doing tough. She's kind of stumbling, bumbling. She sees this family photo of the two ladies and their two little boys.
Yep.
And she's just going nuts. And she wants to find her son. She wants to find her son. And so what's interesting is that this is so bizarre. What is the timeline of this? So this had to be Diane has seen F at this point. Hold on. Let's help me work this out. So
okay.
By the time Kelly shows up,
yeah,
Diane has already seen F and Nora doing it on the floor. So Diane knows that F has Zach, right? This is getting so confusing. Okay.
Yes.
But she never tells Kelly, does she?
Well, she doesn't really have an opportunity.
She doesn't have an opportunity now. So Diane's son comes down the stairs, and this
cute little kid.
It is, but this is the best. When she tongues this kid, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Diane grabs Kelly and is like, get off my son, get off my son.
Oh man.
Kelly now has Sturgoy strength.
This is like Dynasty.
And Kelly, you know, sexy, beautiful Kelly.
Yeah.
Hideous looking with this tongue coming out of her mouth. Let's be completely honest.
Yeah.
But Kelly, her first two tongues, she gets.
She's two for two.
She's two for two.
She's a prodigy.
That is friggin' great.
A lot of people, it used to be that if you were an actor, you wanted to play somebody with a different accent, or
right,
someone with some sort of physical challenge,
right,
or possibly a combination,
sure,
of a physical challenge, a mental challenge, some sort of
to
psychosis.
To win an award is what
exactly
you're saying.
But I think Kelly,
yeah,
she's vaulted to the head of the pack for the
the actress Natalie Brown. Oh, doing so great.
Oh my good. Well, you know, now she's going to make it plain a Sturgoy. All the actors in town are going to be looking for exactly that.
Now, the next time we see Kelly, she's stumbling in the city. She's gone into, I don't know how she thinks in the city she's going to find Zach, but maybe now she's following this voice. And Kelly, she's doing a lot of acting work, like you're saying, kind of body work. She's
kind of walking funny. Yeah, she's doing the robot.
And we have our first, what I call, Sturgoy vision.
Yes.
Where Kelly's out on the street, and she sees this couple walking by her, and they don't even look, in her way she sees things, they don't even look like people. They look like just red lines of veins and beating hearts filled with delicious blood.
She sees people for what they are, bags of meat.
Yeah, but she doesn't.
But she doesn't attack.
She doesn't attack. She lets the Sturgoy
because she doesn't love them?
Right. And Sturgoy apparently know each other. And
yeah.
So Kelly, she is getting something in her ear from the master. He's like, Kelly,
Yoo-hoo,
come to me. And you were asking me when Kelly didn't look good in this episode or when she looked her best. I think this walk she does down the subway stairs, where she's kind of, you know, she's got her head twitch,
mm-hmm,
she's jingling, she's got her body has got some movement. You
yeah
saw that just
yeah
now, didn't you?
Oh,
Kelly,
man,
is a stone cold foxy Sturgoy, or she's like what I like to call a double S.
A sexy Sturgoy?
Yes, that's exactly mm-hmm right, a sexy Sturgoy.
Boom.
And we know who likes sexy Sturgoys.
Yeah.
It's the good old master. Remember how their chosen ones
yeah
work? And so how poor man's Christoph Waltz is a chosen one? Now it's Kelly's turn to be totally chosen.
So do you think the master sent his troops for her to infect her? I mean, you know, he doesn't just invite any Strigoi down to see
him. Are you kidding? Yeah, how do you think Diane and her kid feel where the master was saying, Diane, just stay where you are. Go in the basement and lie down. Don't come to me. Just take a nap.
Wait, don't call me. I'll call you.
You didn't make the list.
It was.
And so let's read this exact dialogue when Kelly comes face to face with the awesome master. Because, you know, the master, he's a bit of a salesman. He's like, look at me.
He kind of is a salesman.
He's got to, you know, he's got to get everybody on the team. He's like, look at me. Rejoice.
Yeah.
You like that? Rejoice.
Well,
embrace your glorious fate.
Ooh.
You know, this master, give him some props. He's like, you know, do you have a boss that sometimes talks down to you? Like, you're not good enough. That's not good.
Well, you do that, Bubba.
Right. I do that on and off air. Thank you so much. But the master, if I was the master and we were doing this podcast, I'd be like, rejoice your glorious fate as co-host of this Got Your Milk podcast. Rejoice.
You
come to me, Mark.
You do
come
say
to
that.
Me.
You do say that often, Bubba, and I don't blame you because this is it.
If you had Twitter, Mark, people could come to you and follow you.
I don't even know what
you're
that
not the
is,
master, Mark. You're not the master.
I'm not. And it's hard for the master to tweet with those big thumbs. Let's be honest.
And so the only thing I'll say, the only negative about this whole storyline, is that I kind of saw it coming. Like when we had that scene of F going into the house,
right?
I knew that she wasn't there. I knew she would go to the master. You have to have the drama. It feels like, once again, we can predict because we haven't read the books.
Nope.
But I'm going to make a prediction. Then if you agree, disagree, or have your own predictions, let's hear it.
All right.
It finally looks like in the preview, so this is a spoiler alert if you didn't watch the coming up on the next episode of The Strain. It looks like they found the master's lair.
Yeah.
And Fett says, boy, we're going to have to cut off a lot of heads. But the general idea is that is going to be the big thing, right? It's always about who you love. They've been talking about love this whole time. And it feels like maybe this first season is building towards F confronting the woman he theoretically loves in Kelly, his wife.
Hmm.
And F's going to have to make a decision. And I will go ahead and say that F, you know what? I'll say F can't do it. I think maybe that's a shock since he's killed so many people. Today, F killed a kid. But I'm going to say F loves her too much and won't be able to do it. That's my prediction. That's my new prediction for the final three episodes. What about you, buddy? You agree, disagree, have your own prediction?
I'm gonna disagree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm gonna disagree. I think it'll make it a little more you know, it's a bigger turn for him.
It's a bigger turn for F. So F, the whole time we hear Abraham saying, "When will you believe me?"
Yeah.
And so you're saying that the moment where we know F is all in and on Team Abraham and ready to do what needs to be done is when he kills the mother of his child.
Well, I'd like to think so, that if he kills the mother of his child...
What if he just kills Kelly and he goes, I still don't believe it?
He thinks he's doing it for a real reason. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to them to getting down into the sewers, into the drains, where there's no escape.
Well, the rats always have a backup plan.
And seeing what happens.
That just gave me another prediction moment. In that, what did Vasily Fett say about rats? They always have a backup plan.
Yep.
And so that is theoretically how the master is going to escape, is he'll be trapped, but he'll have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
He escapes, and that sets us up for season two. Once again, we have not read the books, so don't tell us if we're right or not.
I'm going to make my own prediction.
Okay, good. Let's hear it.
In two episodes, the master's robe will get caught on one of those subway turnstiles.
Right. That'd be awesome.
That's
just flashed everybody, because we know he's gone smooth.
Oh, geez Louise.
All right. So how about some more predictions, Mork? Are we ever going to see Bolivar again?
Well, we better. I bought those damn tickets.
Are we ever going to see Strigoi Team 6 again?
Yeah, I think they'll help our guys escape.
Oh,
from
okay.
From the cellars.
That's a good call. And then is there anybody else who how about what's going to go on with Gus? Gus has really been off on his own. Is he going to join our team?
Gus
of heroes
is still
here?
Running. Gus is still running.
Still running, Gus.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to seeing Gus.
Yep.
And I think that Gus and Abe and Fett will make a pretty nice team.
You said Gus, Abe, and Fett. You didn't mention F.
I did not.
So what does that mean? F is on his own, or that F is going to die?
F's just lollygagging. That's all I mean.
Well, that's all men. What do you think is going to happen with our wonderful women on the Heroes team? And that I mean Dutch, I mean Nora, and Nora's mom. Our women heroes, what about them?
Well, Nora's mom, a lot of people don't know this, is a crack shot.
Yes.
So
you know what?
She was a sniper.
Okay, please
in,
get
in
to
Korea.
The point. Yes.
And
no one cares.
Also, you don't... Oh, bite your tongue, you
Hold
don't
Hold on. This is the real thing. I want you to write us in... You write us on Twitter. You can reach me, Bubba, at Fit and Trim, FitTenTrim. Do you want more Nora's mom or less Nora's mom? The public can decide. Do you want to learn more about Nora's mom's past that Mork is telling us? So tell us more about her past,
If
Mork.
You do, if what? You do.
Tell us more about her past, you were saying.
Oh, where does one begin? Nora's mom...
You have no trouble beginning. So
Nora's mom paid her way through sniper school by being a professional bowler.
Okay.
If you want to hear more Nora's mom,
please.
Let's do a hashtag more Nora's mom or hashtag no more Nora's mom.
No mo. No mo.
And we will never
no
mention her again. Even if she kills the master, we will never speak of her again. So, yes, I'm looking forward to these next. We only have three more.
Only three more.
I want to finish strong. I think
let's finish strong.
I think they've been saving some big beats. I'm looking forward to
hell
it.
Hell yeah.
And we will see you next time on...
Got your milk! Wait for it.
Bubba.
What?
I'm afraid. Bubba. Bubba, I don't know what to do now.
18 hours earlier.